Good morning, friends. Today this talk is going to touch on a number of esoteric principles. The reason for this is we are a church of the wisdom tradition. And so if we don't stand on our white horse with this intent, we don't deserve to be called a part of that tradition at all. Therefore, rather than talking about wisdom as related to the Torah and Mishnah, Jewish law, I am instead going to develop some of the ideas I expressed a few weeks ago when I talked about the baptism of the Lord, particularly the Great Jordan, a downward or outward flow of life energy into this world from above the astral realms, from the world of light, which is sometimes called paradise. So today we have two readings, one from the Book of Wisdom of Solomon about wisdom, really beautiful verses those, and one from Matthew about the maidens waiting for the bridegroom. The bridegroom seems a bit harsh, shutting the doors on the foolish virgins and saying, "I know you not," but there it is. I suppose the bridegroom is a bit like gravity, inevitable and unstoppable in his action, not given to changing midstream. So is that the main message of the gospel? The bridegroom cometh, and no one knoweth the day nor the hour, so be ready. What is it to be ready? To have the spare oil for your lamp? What is your lamp? They say your soul is like a lamp to light your way, so maybe the spare oil you need to keep is balm for the soul. Soul strengthening medicine. What is soul strengthening medicine? What makes the soul burn brighter? Perhaps it is love? Perhaps it is the fuel of the Holy Spirit? If so, how might one obtain more of this Holy Spirit stuff, assuming for the moment that it corresponds to the oil one must have as a lamp-carrying virgin? By cultivation of certain things, the cultivation of presence of mind, the cultivation of release and softening, the cultivation of consciousness. In cultivating these things, we learn how first to love, then to turn the Great Jordan around and make it flow upward. We learn how to undo death and step living into paradise. Well, so the old books say anyway. Is this true? I don't know, honestly. It could be true. It would be worthwhile to find out, I think. So how do you go about cultivating consciousness? If consciousness is love, perhaps it is melding your little love into the power of the great love? Today's epistle from the Book of Wisdom of Solomon certainly implies that. Cultivating consciousness is certainly the movement towards wisdom. Chokmah and her twin, even though Chokmah is generally masculine, but Sophia is feminine. So we'll say her twin, Bina, the understanding spirit. On the Kabbalistic tree of life, as some of you know, these two, Chokmah and Bina, are the first emanations from the crown, Keter. Keter is God made manifest from the great void, or first manifestation, Ein Sof Ur, out of the non-void, Ein Sof. And these are also really Buddhist or Taoist terms. So if we are at a loss in our own tradition, we can perhaps go to either of these sister traditions to get clues, especially Taoism. In Christianity, we don't think much about the great void or the non-void, but they are there every time we invoke the Trinity. The non-void is, of course, the original nothing-everything, which by turning it towards itself manifests everything first as Father, Son, Spirit, then everything else via the great emanations, Keter, Chokmah, and Bina, the crown, wisdom, and understanding. Wisdom has the quality of being like light, yet is found before it. And in the early Gnostic schemes, wisdom is the goddess Sophia, who came into this world seeking experience, only to get lost in various ways and for various reasons, yet is saved by the Simonian one who stands, the great stability. There is some link from Sophia back to Athena, goddess of wisdom. Alone born of Zeus in the tradition of classical mysteries. But she is more often equated with Helen, whether it be Helen of Troy, Queen Helena of Adiabene, or Constantine's Empress Helena. Helen, of course, means light, and it is that aspect from which the Greeks, the Heleniki, or children of light, took their name. That aside, wisdom and light are here being fused together as two aspects of the same substance. Perhaps in that sense, here is a clue that wisdom can be found through going into the substance that bears the light, the luciferous ether, or astral fluid, the fluid stars are made from, the fluid that thought itself is made from. But also in the epistle reading, the way wisdom is described is so much like the way Taoists describe the Tao. It should make you wonder whether or not this is all really one great church with many outer courts. Isn't it written, wisdom is both one and manifold, just like the Tao, singular and many, and which is also the gateway to manifold secrets, clear, undefiled, virgin, full of life and not harmable. Nothing bad can get into wisdom. Wisdom is the source of goodness and virtue, also like the Tao. And in fact, wisdom sounds a lot like Paul's description of agape, or love, in 1 Corinthians 13. So this is why I say one develops wisdom with agape. And what else are we hearing? For one, that God loves those who live with wisdom. And then we hear the verses which are echoed in our Holy Eucharist. She is the brightness of the everlasting light, the unspotted mirror of the power of God and the image of his goodness, echoed in our Confiteor. He that loveth wisdom loveth life, and they that seek her early shall be filled with joy, used in the Gradual. This thing about being brightness implies wisdom is an aspect of Shekhinah, the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Wisdom is not the light itself, but the brightness of that light, the quality we might call glory. Somehow, the ancients viewed all things as having this kind of duality, a maleness and femaleness. Sometimes the light is considered male and brightness female. Other times, as in the case of the Nazareans or Mandians, light is female and radiance or active light is considered male. The one who owns a crown, a Nazarean, is concerned with the mystery of radiance, while the normal Mandian is concerned with light. This idea of ownership of a crown is also found in the Gnostic text, the Odes of Solomon, where the writer, the beloved, talks about wearing a living crown that buds, and that such a crown is full of the lover's, or Lord's, salvation. Here we again have duality expressed between beloved and lover. The poet contrasted with the Lord Most High and Merciful. This expresses inner or bridal chamber Christianity, which might be considered the real Christianity in the sense of being the tradition with all the tenets and practices leading to the perfection of the promise, the path of salvation in the one life, immortality. In bridal chamber Christianity, we humans are all considered female, while the bridegroom is male. We are virgin Sophia, and the bridegroom is the one who stands above the ever-turning maelstrom, the great stability, the Lord Most High, or the name which is above every name. So let's just consider for a few moments beneath all these metaphors what the gift of wisdom is. In one sense, it is us because it is the fruit of our experience and the next step on from our understanding on the path back to the Father. It is understanding given a permanent presence. So it is the fruit of karma, which we take with us from life to life in the great chain of incarnations that draw us inexorably back to oneness with the one life. Eventually, do we manifest a hidden crown of living light as an expression of that wisdom over the many ages? And learn how to turn the great stream of life energy around so we may know ourselves to be born as gods in the superior worlds, being then on a greater path to oneness with the Most High? And whether we achieve that particular milestone or not in this life, we will always gather wisdom from our experience. Yet wisdom is also an ability to take things lightly. You see, light is light, isn't it? Light isn't heavy, it's light. If you want to turn the downward flowing current around, it helps if you know how to make things light. how to take things lightly. If things are too heavy, you cannot raise them. If you're too serious, you get too heavy with things. Then there's no lightness in you and no light. These two senses of the word light are no accident being together. Light is the after all, the least heavy thing in the universe, carried as it is on the stuff of space itself. But careful, because in order to turn around that energy, you need to be light, but also grounded. If you are not grounded, you will be tossed to and fro, never making any progress with the Great Jordan, never turning this river of life around. You need to become stable. You need to burn your lamp with a strong flame. You need to have the oil of the Spirit within you, keeping that flame stable and strong. You need to be stable, grounded, your lamp burning with love, so that you are ready when the bridegroom comes.